The Johnson Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Company with Jim Jordan as Fibber, Donald Novus, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with There's a New Sun in the Sky. Modern housewives have a much easier time of it than your grandmothers did. Nowadays, it's no trick at all to keep your floors and linoleum clean and shining with Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. This remarkable polish relieves you forever from tiresome floor scrubbing because it protects your floors with a beautiful, dirt-resistant polish. Glow Coat, you know, requires no rubbing or buffing. Dries in 20 minutes to a gleaming luster that shuts out dirt and stains. Millions of women can testify that their housework is easier and their floors more attractive since they learned about Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Once you start using Glow Coat, you'll never again have to apologize for dull, soiled floors or faded linoleum. Ask your dealer tomorrow for Glow Coat, G-L-O-C-O-A-T, Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. You're assured of complete satisfaction if you insist on the real thing. Out into society tonight to a dinner at the Uppington Mansion among Wistful Vista's best people. However, society doesn't frighten him. After all, says he, what is the upper crust but a bunch of crumbs who stick together? So here, all dressed up in his best clothes, we find...
Hey, Harpo, hold it. Hey.
What's the matter, Fibber?
Easy on that party announcement. I may not be able to go.
Well, what happened? Why can't you go?
The button just come off the collar of my shirt. You got a needle and thread?
No, I'm sorry. I left my sewing basket home on the piano.
I can't go around like this with a nude neck.
Well, why don't you keep your muffler on? You can wrap that around your neck sort of in the ascot style, you know. I've seen Jack Benny wear his scarf like that.
That's okay for him, but I ain't got any Fred Allen reaching for my throat. Somebody around here ought to have a needle and thread, or at least a pin. Hey, Billy.
Yes?
Say, I just busted the button off the collar of my shirt. I can't go around with my Adam's apple sticking out like that.
Oh, is that your Adam's apple?
What'd you think it was?
Well, I thought maybe it was a lump in your throat. You know, from reading the reviews of your personal appearances.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, they don't bother me, Mr. Mills. Anyway, no theater's lost money booking my act. I don't care what the critics say about me as long as I take in the money.
You're the third person I know who said that. Who's the other two? Jesse James and John Dillinger.
Why, they were public enemies.
Yeah.
Now that you've given me the needle, you never mind the thread, Billy. You got a magnifying glass, Mill?
No, what do you want a magnifying glass for?
I want to go over your contract again more carefully. That rat, it ain't anybody got a needle and thread? Hey, Don.
What's the matter, Fibber?
Listen, Don.
Hey, there's a button off your shirt.
Well, thanks, Don. At least there's one guy in this outfit that notices things. You got a safety pin, Don?
Yes, but I can't spare it.
Why not?
Haven't you heard?
What? Why no? Heard what?
Here, let me whisper.
My wife.
No.
When?
Early this summer. So you see, we'll need all the safety pins we have.
Oh, gee, that's wonderful, Don. Hadn't you better sit down, Don? Take it easy. Take it easy till your next number?
No, I feel all right, thanks.
So that's what you and your wife were talking about when I went past your window early this morning. I seen the light in there. Ah, me, two slap happy people by Don's early light.
Oh, don't say anything about it, will you?
Oh, no, Don, you can trust me. But say, you know where I can find a needle?
No, I don't. I don't even know where there's a haystack.
Say, Fibber, speaking of haystacks, I heard a funny one yesterday.
What was that, Harpo?
I heard a farmer say that he had a radio in his barn, but he had to shut it off on Tuesday night.
What for?
He said too much corn was bad for the livestock.
Oh, is that so? Criticizing again, eh? Well, if it'll make it any easier for you guys to push me around, I'll come down next week in a wheelchair. Dad, rat it, I gotta find a needle and thread somewhere. Oh, there's a smart-looking girl. Maybe she's got one. Hey, sis, excuse me, but have you got a needle and thread?
No, I haven't. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, don't look so worried about it. I'll get the shirt fixed someplace.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. I have other trouble.
Oh, that's too bad. Anything I can do?
Do you know anything about baseball?
Do I? Why, I coached the House of David team for 12 years. I gave it up, though. I got tired of the Bush League. Why'd you ask, sis?
Well, an old friend of my family just left me an interest in a baseball team, and I don't know anything about baseball.
Oh, are you that gal? You were an actress, weren't you?
I was. Oh, but I'm so anxious to learn about baseball.
Yeah, I suppose you think a double play is a six-hour show by Eugene O'Neill, huh?
Tell me, do you think it would be a cute idea if my team changed costumes between each act?
They call them innings in baseball, sis, not acts. Where's your team now?
Oh, they're in Florida for spring rehearsal.
Spring training. But you don't have to worry. You got the best team in the country, sir.
Oh, do you think so? Well, have we a chance to win the Pulitzer Prize again this year?
You mean the pennant, sis. And if you're considering getting Alfred Lunt for shortstop or Catherine Cornell for third base, don't do it.
How about Noel Coward?
That's a good idea, sis. He could write you a few hits. Well, good luck, sis.
Thank you, and I hope you'll come to see one of our performances.
Oh, I will. I'll be at the first matinee. And now, folks, if anybody here has got a needle and thread, I'd like to get this one. Hey, wait a minute. What goes on? Get that bull out of here. What do you think this is, a rodeo?
Oh, I'm horribly sorry, Mr. McGee. But we just couldn't keep him out of here. I think he smelled Mr. Mill's buttonhole corsage. See, he's sniffing it.
Get that brute away from me. Take him away.
Moo!
And I do mean moo.
Oh, a bull fiddler.
Ferdinand, please behave yourself.
Oh, so that's Ferdinand. The lace curtain longhorn.
Oh, there was just a bull, a magnificent bull, in a pasture near old Barcelona. He romped and he swayed through the flowers all day till he smelled just like old Nicolona.
He was gentle and kind and his moo was refined.
The rest of the bulls all resented. When he'd start to moo in a moment or two, he'd have all the cows discontented.
Ferdinand, the bull with the delicate ego. Ferdinand, the heifers all called him amigo. Ferdinand, he curtsied and greeted them politely. Now he knew how to tangle and dance up and dangle, but he never learned to fight. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Birdie, 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 Ferdinand. He loved the aroma of flowers. Birdie, 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 Ferdinand. He smelled them for hours and hours. And all those female hands from high up in the sand
would toss the few posing politely.
He tried for birdie, would give them the birdie. But Ferdinand, yeah, Ferdinand, would never learn to fly.
That was the four notes singing Ferdinand the Bull, folks. And Billy.
Yeah?
I want to compliment you on that prize beast music. Did you write that yourself?
No, for those bull numbers, I used stock arrangements.
Got your shirt fixed yet?
No, I ain't. I got to get it fixed someplace.
Too. Hello there, Johnny. How you fixed for Valentine's?
A little early to be selling Valentine's, old-timer, ain't it?
Hey!
I says, drop in about the 10th of the month with your Valentine's. I'll tell my secretary I'm expecting a heart attack.
That's pretty good, Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one fella says to the other fella, see, says, I see where Kaiser Wilhelm will be an octogenarian next Friday. Octogenarian, eh, says to the other fella. Well, any man as old as he is hadn't ought to eat meat anyway. he sure has been leading a quiet life, Johnny. Been in Holland 20 years and nothing's turned up but the end of his mustache.
That old buzzard horning in here like that. Oh, still, he might be worth cultivating if we could get enough dirt on him. Hey, Harpo.
Yes?
You got a shirt I can borrow. I can't go around with my collar open like this all the time.
What size shirt do you wear?
14.
No, I didn't mean the cuff. I meant the neck.
That's it, 14.
I'm sorry. I wear a 17 and a half.
17 and a half? Wow. That ain't a shirt. That's a step-in. What sleeve length?
Which sleeve?
Well, are they different?
Oh, sure. My right arm is developed more than the left.
Oh, is that so?
Sure. You see, I use my right arm to knock on doors with. And when the lady of the house comes to the door, I say, Madam, do you know about Johnson's Glow Coat, the easy-to-use floor polish that shines as it dries? And she says, do you mean the Johnson's Glow Coat that requires no rubbing or buffing?
Oh, that's wonderful. And what do you say?
And I say, yes, madam, we are both talking about the same wonderful product that saves you housewives so much time and effort. And she says, to say nothing of saving up to a third on the large size can.
Isn't that marvelous? And then?
And then we smile at each other and I go to the next door.
Oh, that's swell. But what's that got to do with your one shirt sleeve being longer than the other?
Well, personally, I always put it down as a long arm of coincidence.
Oh, dear. Okay, Harpo, is there a men's furnishing store near here?
Sure, four blocks south. But say, is the shirt you have on the only one you own?
Now, that's a fine question to ask me with everybody listening. Of course it ain't the only shirt I own. The other one's in the laundry. Hey, that's an idea. I'll run down to the laundry and see if I can find...
Oh, Mr. McGee, now what is this I heard about you not coming to my party tonight? Just because you lost a button off your shirt?
It's true, Uppy. It's sad but true.
Oh, but Miss McGee, you must come. Oh, really, it will do so much for you socially. Why, I've invited the cream of society.
Oh, is that so? Well, watch them curdle when they see me with my shirt on.
Oh, but I've even arranged for you to take Mrs. Morganwell's Sterling Game into dinner.
No.
Yes, yes, yes. The Mrs. Morganwell's Sterling Game.
Well, well, well.
Yes, she's very social. One of the SSDs, you know.
SSDs?
Yes. One of the first families of Virginia.
Oh, is that so? I'm a FFP myself.
FFP?
Yeah, fugitive from Peoria. Well, I'm sorry, Uppy. It was nice of you to invite me, but with my collar the way it is, I...
Oh, now, Mr. McGee. Oh, really, I had so hoped you would come. Of course, if you're the least bit apprehensive about the etiquette of formal dancing...
Oh, don't worry about my etiquette, Uppy. I know my way around. Though there was a time when it used to worry me to pieces, wondering which was the proper fork to use.
Oh, Mr. McGee, really?
Yeah, but I thought... But I got that licked. Now I just pick out one knife, one fork, and one spoon and shove the rest of the tools in my pocket till after dinner.
Oh, really, Mr. Yeah. McGee? Oh, my, how original. You put the extra silver in your pocket? Oh, my, how very delightful. Tell me, Mr. McGee, are you sickish?
Huh? Why, yes, a little. Why?
Oh, my goodness. Maybe I am just a silly girl, but I can hardly wait till my butler prints you when he helps you in your overcoat.
Great gal, Uppy, but I'm afraid she left finishing school before she was quite finished. Now, let's see. Oh, yeah. Hey, Harpo, wait here for me. I'm going over to the laundry and get my other shirt. Uh-oh. Say, look at the old man walking by in the white gown and the long beard, carrying the big sigh. Hello, Father.
Hello there, son.
You get it, folks? A little symbolical device to denote the passing of time. Now we're at the laundry.
Ah, hello. Hi, Gooey Fooey. You got my shirt ready yet?
What's your name, please?
McGee. Trevor McGee. Lose him button off of this shirty. Want other shirty. Need him bad. You savvy?
Oh, yes. It's savvy very good. Mr. Needham, want bad shirty.
I ain't Mr. Needham. I'm Mr. McGee. And I don't want a bad shirt. I want my shirt bad. I mean good. I want my shirt.
Oh, my dumbo, holy lady. You talk too much. That's a very confusing. What kind of shirt are you bringing in?
A nice silk shirt. I got it for Christmas.
All right. You come along this way, please. Looky, silk shirty department.
Okay, Hey, that was my shirt he was tearing up.
Uh-huh. That's a very sorry. You don't get the shirt back. Make the silliest mistake of bringing Japanese silk to a Chinese laundry. Yeah. Oh, my tomahawk, Lily. Goodbye now.
Well, that's that. Now I ain't even got another shirt. When I think of the trouble a little thing like a shirt button can cause a
problem. Hi, Miss McGee, Fraser. What are you talking about?
Oh, hi, Phil. There's a button off of my shirt collar, and I can't seem to get one sewed on. You know where I can buy a shirt around here, Phil?
Yes, there's a real risky men's store down the street, please.
Oh, thanks, Phil. Where were you going?
I'm going down to the museum.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm working down there.
Oh, that ought to be both amusing and instructive. What do you do, Phil?
Well, I carry bones from one room to the other, please. Mm-hmm. They're building a skeleton of a dining car or something.
You mean a dinosaur?
Yes, sir, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They got some bones 20 feet long, and they're deep and scorpions. This is the first time I ever did roll the bones for a regular salary.
Hey, what you got there, Phil? A bottle of beer? I thought you didn't drink beer.
Well, this ain't for me, please, sir. This is for one of the men down at the museum.
Oh, I see.
Rosebud, she won't let me drink no beer.
Oh.
Rosebud, that's my gal.
Well, good for Rosebud. Keep you on the wagon, eh?
Yes, sir, she sure do.
Well, that's fine.
Yes, sir, that's what I think too, Miss McGee. She's perfectly right, Bud. It's just like she said, please. If an owl goes around drinking that nasty old beer every day in a week, how are we going to have enough money left on Saturday night to buy gin? Well, so long, Mr. McGee.
Okay, Phil, let's see. Oh, yes, the haberdasher. I hope they got a shirt that'll fit me. Oh, boy, what a store. Pretty fancy. Hey, clerk, sell me a shirt, will you?
Why, certainly, sir. Something like that creation you're wearing?
Why not? What's the matter with it?
Those holes burned in the bosom, sir. You smoke a pipe, I take it.
No, Bud, I got a battleship tattooed on my chest, and every time a flag goes by, it fires a salute.
Really, sir? The recoil must be terrific. By the way, sir, when you've selected a shirt, may I show you something nice in a bathing suit?
Oh, certainly. A friend of yours?
Yes. About the shirt, sir.
Oh, yes. How much is this one here?
Oh, that sells for $16, sir.
Let's see. How much is that a piece? Let's see. 12 and a 16 goes once.
Oh, no. That's not the per dozen, sir. $16 per shirt.
$16 for one shirt? Oh, now, listen, Cy. Ain't you got something for about 69 cents?
No, sir. This $16 shirt is our cheapest. And we just carry that for the transient trade. Sort of a novelty, you know.
Yeah, it would be a novelty for me to own one of them. But I ain't going to pay no... Hey, wait a minute. Does that price include a monogram on the sleeve? If it does, I'll order a dozen.
Oh, yes, sir. Three letters or two letters?
Three letters. An F and an M.
And the third letter, sir?
That's the letter I'm going to send you in the morning, canceling the order. Good day, Bud. Imagine that. $16 for a shirt. I'd have to buy a jewel case to keep the ravelings in. All the dead red.
Hello there, Fibber.
Oh, hi, Don.
Say, excuse me for mentioning you, Fibber.
Huh?
But that button is off your shirt collar again.
It ain't off again, Don. It's off still. Yes. Incidentally, how do you feel, Don? All right?
Oh, yes. Don't worry about me. I'm all right.
Well, we want you to take it easy from now on, you know. Have you got some song, Don, that don't sap your strength too much?
How about Thanks for Everything?
Okay, but just one verse in the chorus now. Don't overdo.
Thanks for everything. nothing in the world I wouldn't do to be worthy of you. For any time that I am ever blue, you come smiling through. You're my sunny day, you're my only inspiration. Here's all that I can say to show you my appreciation. Thanks for everything, every word, every sigh, every kiss. Thanks for everything, for bringing me moments like this. For taking the skies of gray and making them blue. For taking my cares away, I tip my heart to you. So thanks for everything, every thrill in your tender caress. Thanks to you alone.
Thanks for Everything, beautifully sung by Donald Novus, with what I consider more than adequate accompaniment by Billy Mills Orchestra. Don't you consider it more than adequate, Harpo?
Yes, I do, Fibber. In fact, I think it was almost very superior.
Oh, at least almost very superior. Well, I would pretty near say it was... I hope that's somebody with an extra shirt. Come in.
Mr. McGee.
You betcha, sis. What can I do for you?
Well, we were listening to your program coming downtown in our car, and halfway down here, our radio went on the bum. Would you mind starting over?
I don't know, sis. I don't believe we got time for that. What was the last thing you heard?
Why, when some old man came in and said, "That ain't the way I heard it," then the radio went blue.
Well, I guess we can repeat that part for you. Hey, old-timer.
Hey!
You mind repeating that wheeze of yours for a lady? You know, the one about the Kaiser?
Never repeat them, Johnny. But here's one I heard coming down in my car this morning. I had the radio on, and one fellow says to the other fellow, "See," says, "I see by the paper where..." "That's so," says fellow fella, "but how did..." "I always thought it was a peanut stand." I thought that was a good one, Johnny.
Yeah, but I didn't hear the middle part of it.
Neither did I, daughter. Just at that time, I was going under a viaduct. But you should have heard him laughing.
Well, for goodness sake. Oh, that's a fine way to antagonize our customers. You might at least... Phew!
Say, Fibber, you're catching cold. Yeah. You've got to get a button on that shirt, or else wear a scarf.
No, sir, I know what I'm going to do. Might be a little radical, but I'm tired of trying to get a button on this shirt.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, you'll find out. You get Billy and Don Novus and Mrs. Uppington and Tilly Watson.
Well,
and...
hello there, Peter. What is this gossip I'm hearing about you losing a shirt off your top button?
Yeah, that's right, Nick. How'd you hear about it?
Oh, I overlistened to a couple of people discussing it downtown while I was in the courthouse.
In the courthouse? What you doing there in the courthouse, Nick?
I'm a wet nurse, Peter.
A what?
A wet nurse. I'm a wet nurse in a little legal controversy.
A wet nurse. Oh, you mean a witness.
Sure, a wet nurse. A friend of mine, Andreas Antigregorius, is getting a kick in the bleachers of promise by a Cupid who is having a broken heart for $50,000. For $50,000, they can break my heart into a jigsaw puzzle, I'm thinking.
Me too, but your pal was probably indiscreet.
That is a situation in a nutshell, Fizzer. Of course, my friend Andreas can afford to make a sediment out of cart, but what is burning him up is all the fleas.
Fleas?
Sure, cart fleas, attorney's fleas.
That's fleas, Nick. There's no L in it.
Is that so? Well, from what I'm sitting on a stand as a wet nurse, there was being plenty of L in it, I'm thinking. I'm being very glad I'm a happily married man, so I'm not being prosecuted by a cute kid from a chorus who is only knowing two notes of music, me and Joe.
Well, that'll probably teach your guy, teach that guy a lesson anyway, huh?
Fizzer, you said it with a mouthful that time. As I'm saying to my friend Andreas, I'm saying, when you are telling a female, I love you, that's awfully duckly. But the minute the man is writing your same thing in a letter, the mail is in the bag. So long.
You think after what them Greeks learned at Troy, they wouldn't horse around so much. Hey, Harpo, is everybody here?
Yes, I think so.
Mrs. Uppington, Don Nova, yes. Billy, yes. Old Timer, yes. Billy Watson, yes. Nick DePoplin. Yes. Now listen, folks. Sit down and listen to me. Now then, you know what a time I've been having with the button off my shirt. Nobody's got a needle and thread, and I can't borrow a shirt or buy a shirt. And I'm going to do something about it. I want you all to go home and pack your trunks and meet me at the Union Station tomorrow morning.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm
going to
move this show to Hollywood, where a guy can go around with his shirt collar open. I won't be the only one out there who hasn't got all his buttons.
Back in just a moment. But right now, I'd like to say that no matter what type home you live in, a tiny apartment, a beautiful mansion, or a small cottage, your floors will be much easier to care for, much cleaner, and more sanitary if they're protected with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Dust and dirt simply can't stick to the beautiful polished surface. Spilled food can be quickly wiped away. If you want your floors always to have a bright, spick-and-span look that will attract the admiration of everyone, just let Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat polish your floors for you. Glow Coat works like magic, quickly giving your painted and varnished wood floors as well as your linoleum a wonderful shining polish without rubbing or buffing. Remember, it never pays to buy a cheap inferior polish that streaks or smears. For real economy, insist on one of the Johnson Wax products, the fine, dependable products that give greater beauty, longer wear.
Speaking of our moving to Hollywood, I'd just like to say this. It's easy for us to move into the sunshine, but if you'd like to move some sunshine into the lives of ill and crippled children, send 10 cents to President Roosevelt in Washington to help the fight on infantile paralysis. Remember, it's your dimes that will put a silver lining on the dark cloud of a dread disease. So join the March of Dimes. Thank you, and good night, folks.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. Heard tonight on this program were Thanks for Everything from the production of the same name, and this is it from Stars in Your Eyes.
Here's news about a wonderful new product, Blem, B-L-E-M, that safely removes blemishes, white rings, and ugly marks from your tables and other furniture. For a limited time, you can get a full-size tube of Blem free with your purchase of a 39-cent bottle of Johnson's Furniture Polish. Remember, Blem may save you the expense of costly refinishing. Buy Johnson's Furniture Polish tomorrow and get your free tube of Johnson's Blem. This is the National Broadcasting Company.